Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
LeBron James is 13-0 in the first round matchups, but his streak could be in jeopardy. The King is in the GOAT conversation, but that might not be the case anymore if LA can't get past the Blazers, according to Paul Pierce, my dog, who said, quote, this is going to be a big hit on his legacy. If the Lakers don't win a championship, let alone lose in the first round, I don't want to hear none of this GOAT talk no more. Tell him, Inglewood. So, Otto, would it be a first-round exit to the Blazers hurt LeBron's legacy?
Yeah, it would definitely hurt LeBron's legacy.
Definitely.
It would. It absolutely would. But we have to remember, LeBron's legacy is in the context of whom? Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
you can't
speak
of LeBron's legacy out of context. So let's put everything in context before we get to the nuts and bolts of the questions. Now,
hey.
I read a book, Marcellus.
One book?
Called,
yes, go Texas.
One book called The Art of War.
Oh.
And The Art of War, it says that you got to know your opponents to know yourself. And because I'm a LeBron stan, I have to know my opponents, the Jordan stans of the world. What is the primary argument for LeBron stans? Well, LeBron never had a first-round exit in the playoffs. Whereas Jordan had three first-round exits
three?
In the playoffs, right?
Three?
He had three.
Damn,
but think about him.
Sorry.
His rookie year, then in 86 to the Celtics with McHale and Bird. They went on to win the chip. Then 87, again, to the Celtics.
More,
went to the chip.
More
so,
opponents.
So when you look at the primary argument that LeBron stands that myself can have are, well, LeBron never had a first-round exit. I understand he didn't win all the chips he went to. I understand he didn't go 6-0 like the great MJ, but he still went to 8 straight and never had a first-round exit.
And that's
if
gone.
If all of a sudden, bruh,
say
you got a first-round exit, and not only do you have a first-round exit, you have a first-round exit to an 8-seed, Marcellus. To an 8-seed. Not a first-round exit to a Hall of Famer like Bird, to a team that goes on to win a chip. But if you have a first-round exit to an 8-seed, it definitely puts a stain that you can't wash out on LeBron's legacy.
Hearing you, I would think you'd be on the other side with your boy, who's also a LeBron stan, who also sits there and says, this shouldn't hurt his legacy. Michael Jordan, since we're going
to
just keep it simple and real.
You got to.
It's LeBron and chasing the ghost of Michael Jordan. But Michael Jordan's on record, on resume, we already see what he's done. Go to pro basketball reference.
I'm on there right now.
You're on there right now.
I'm on there right now.
Okay. And if you notice, you see a lot of mulligans. What did you say? Three? Not one, not two, not three. Damn, LeBron in Miami. First round playoff exits, right? Mm-hmm. And scroll down to the end of his career. Do you see any more 37 wins? Is that even a playoff exit? Twice? Okay. And then you scroll in the middle and you see a tap out. Well, I won three. You know I got a tap out. Everyone wants to speculate why, but all I know is incomplete. Tap out, retired, comes back, plays again, wins three, tap out. So that's three mulligans in the beginning, two at the end, and two in between. Okay, you know that Texas math right there. That's a lot of damn mulligans, bro, where LeBron has never even been in a position like this before. Yes, he's been down a game before, never losing the first round series, but he's lost a game before. He's down 1-2 in the first round before. But LeBron has never lost that, so the panic button can't get hit. But if you want to hit the panic button, you can't hit it to the point where LeBron loses his place in the GOAT conversation because of a first-round mulligan that will be used.
But here's the problem, bro, because you talked about the tap-outs and whatnot.
Tap-outs!
When I look at it, look at LeBron, bro. And again, it's hard. It's easy for me to argue this because I know about LeBron, because I study the cat, because when I love excellence, and LeBron is excellent. But think about it. LeBron 35. Am I correct in that statement? Yeah, LeBron 35.
That's good. Is it on there? Pro Basketball Reference.
At 35, LeBron might have a first round exit. At 35, what was Michael Jordan doing?
Oh, don't do
NBA
that.
NBA MVP. Finals MVP.
What year, though? Go year to year.
Not what I'm saying. Finals MVP.
Okay.
Again,
okay.
Won another chip. The third chip of his second three-peat.
Okay.
Scoring leader in the NBA. Okay. So when you look at what Jordan did at 35 and what LeBron will do if they do have this first-round exit at 35, you can't escape how negatively this will look for LeBron. And then, more than anything, think about all the good LeBron accomplished this year.
Mm.
Lakers, number one seed for the first time in nearly a decade. Lakers make the playoffs for the first time in 5, 6, 7 years. All the good that LeBron does, leads the NBA in assists, will be completely undermined by the fact that, ew, first round exit, ew, disgusting. You went to L.A. for what? You went to L.A. to lose to an 8 seed and to not make the playoffs after 2 years? That's what you went to L.A. for? Come on now.
Hey, let me tell you, chill real quick. Because you're giving me an argument that is really helping me out. And I like to have balance on this show. I like to actually have an opponent on this show. You went at LeBron James talking about what you're doing at age 35.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, he went from age 18 all the way through to 35.
That's facts.
You know how it is when we run gassers. If coach gives us a break between them, oh, we going to come back full tilt. But if he say, line it up again, your hamstring feel like it's coming off the bone. And that's what Michael Jordan did beautifully, too. Before pre-social media, he was allowed to get away with this. He was allowed to have 3 first-round exits, nobody tripping. Ah, you lost to some champions. And then he was allowed to win and just say, let me just get my faculties back in order, my capacities. Let me go back to form. He literally, in the middle of races, would be like, stop. Let me go recover, come back to the same race while everyone else is still moving, still running, still feeling the fatigue of that. So LeBron at 35 and Jordan at 35, not even comparable. Let's bring in somebody who knows something or two about basketball. LeBron's former teammate and Fox NBA analyst Tristan Thompson, listening to this blasphemous conversation
coming from
my man over here. Would a first-round exit to the Blazers hurt LeBron's legacy, Tristan?
Acho.
Talk to me.
You tripping, bro.
How?
You definitely acting like you went to A&M. You going to text A&M because you're about to get your Longhorn card revoked. Because, bro, you are tripping. I'm gonna address to Paul Pierce after, but I'm gonna talk to you, Acho, first.
Please. If you look at
a legacy and you look at what GOAT status is, and like Marcel, you said GOAT is singular, not plural.
Dang.
So it's basically the Mount Rushmore. So for LeBron, if you look at his numbers and his stats and everything he's done over the year, and for me, when I look at GOAT in basketball, it's what you do on off the court. He checked marks all the boxes. Look at his numbers. Look what he's done and helped the game. Like, even for me, personally, myself, T-Lou, Dellavedova, players that he's played with, all these guys he's played with, how much he's changed their lives in the game for us. Like,
he changed your life.
With LeBron coming back to Cleveland, put us on the big stage. Put some more dollars in my pocket. That's those stats. That's the guy that can change the game.
Two chains.
That's what he does. And GMs, we know David Griffin. You know, had our team be able to put plays together. All that is part of a GOAT status. And that's when you look at LeBron's resume, when it's all said and done, that's what it says, GOAT.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Paul Pierce now. Mr. Paul Pierce.
Oh, yeah. We ain't done. Address that. Tristan ain't done.
We ain't done.
Mr. Paul Pierce, I know for a fact, Paul Pierce is a LeBron hater. Point blank, period. Everyone knows that. Guys he's played with has told us. God, I even know that. He's been a LeBron hater since day one.
Why he a LeBron hater?
Of course he's a...
What's that about?
He's a hater. He's been hating on Bron and a couple other dudes because around the time when the NBA was making that change and looking for another star, LeBron and a couple other guys came around, and I feel like he wasn't happy about that. When LeBron came in the league, Kobe was in his prime. Jermaine O'Neal was putting up numbers with Indiana. Mm. Paul Pierce was with the Celtics, doing all right. It's
doing all right. You sound like a Paul Pierce hater doing all right. He's doing more than all right.
He's playing well. He had Antoine Walker, the all-star. Yeah, he knows he's with some games.
He's a Hall of Famer.
But he is a Hall of Famer. But what the problem I have is that it takes a certain man to give a man his flowers when he's alive.
That's facts.
And what everyone always wants to do is give guys their praise when they're not around. Listen, LeBron James, you look at his numbers, he's an example of that. It's point blank, period. Yes, when we're a competitor, when we put against Golden State, yeah, me and Draymond, we got into it. It's a competitive nature. But guess what? At the end of the day, when the ball drops and the game's over, me and him are cool. That's just being a competitor. But I feel like with his tweet, it was more than just basketball. Mm. I feel like keep basketball, basketball. I feel like his tweet was praying for a man's downfall, like what Meek Mill said. Mm. Praying for the downfall. And that's the problem. That's the problem I have right now.
Hey, hear my thing, Tristan.
And Marcellus, you know this.
I do.
What's up?
What I know.
Marcellus, you know as an athlete, you know in the locker room, you know, we as players, sometimes you start hating when guys get a little bit more shine, a little bit more celebrity power.
They did hate on me.
Get a bigger contract. Guys want to hate. And they hate on you for sure. I seen the deal you got with the Chargers. I seen that for sure. But it's like, yeah, it's like why are we hating right now on another man's success? He's done stuff to help our game. With him leaving Cleveland the first time around 2010, no stars were leaving their team that drafted them. Guys weren't leaving. Guys were staying with the team. But LeBron going to Miami, taking less money, which I don't know why you take less money.
Yeah,
but taking less money to put yourself in position to win a championship, that's how you move the game forward, and that's how you elevate the game of basketball. And that's something, Paul Pierce, you got to understand. Like, I know you might hate a guy because he broke up your Celtics team when he got with D-Wade, and they're hooling and hollering down at 305. But just keep it basketball. Don't make it personal.
Look, let's keep it basketball then, Trist. I'm going to keep it basketball because you are right. And I'm like you. I care far more about what somebody accomplishes off the court than they ever accomplish on the court or on the field. That's just me personally. But for the sake of the argument, does this loss to the Blazers in round one, that it hurt LeBron's legacy on the court? If we keep it a trill, if we keep it a real, and if we keep it at 100 on the court, it does in fact crush LeBron's legacy. Now, I know LeBron has done a lot for you along with so many others, but if we just keeping it a buck 50, you can't act like losing to an 8-seed Blazers team that might not even have made the playoffs if not for this extension of the bubble period. You can't just sit here and turn a blind eye to the fact like, hey, LeBron, you also got a top 5 player in AD, and you about to lose to Dame and CJ. You can't act like that don't stink.
Tristan, that stink?
No, I don't stink. There's no home court advantage. There's no home court advantage. What's the point of being the number one seed? It's not like they get a bye. Like in football, they don't get a bye. And they don't get that. Like, there's no home court advantage. It's one game. We're going all crazy about one game. And hold on.
True.
I'm pretty sure when MJ came back and lost to Orlando, when we watched Last Dance, did anybody talk about that? Nope. They just talk about the point. 6 rings. They talk about Rob and Scotty. So LeBron's been to 8 finals out of the last 10 years.
Damn.
So what are we talking about?
Wait, Marcel, I got a question then. So then, Tristan, if you're saying that this loss means nothing, if they lose, if he has a first round exit, then that also must mean that if LeBron wins at all, it means nothing. Don't talk out both sides of your mouth.
Don't do that.
So you're saying that essentially this means nothing positively or negatively for the legacy.
For the legacy, if you look at his numbers, as of right now, LeBron want to retire tomorrow. He's still, you know what it reads? LeBron James, GOAT status.
GOAT, okay.
Regardless. Everything he's done so far,
you know
GOAT status, which means it's very opinionated. It can vary, but it's up there.
Look, he has the resume that puts him in the GOAT conversation. And for me, he is the GOAT, LeBron James. Yes, I said it, not Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, he benefits from such likability from people who are trying to actually review Michael Jordan's career as they're still watching LeBron's career ensue. And they're wearing Jordan suits, wearing Jordan's shoes, and then they're trying to say they're being objective when Michael Jordan walks off the court, has a documentary, "This is Isaiah Thomas with no merit," people chuckle. And then when Paul Pierce just says something that takes a shot at LeBron, people want to come all in on Paul Pierce. Stall my homie Paul Pierce out. The same guy who I saw was in high school, Inglewood High School, scored 20 points, 10 dunks. Saw it with my own eyes. Dude was next level. But when we get to this conversation, LeBron James has to remind people he's not in a perfection argument. Michael Jordan rigged the system. His perfection came with breaks. And LeBron is not coming with the breaks. He's not going to stay on the dance floor like Michael Jordan did, and he's going to boogie. But if you look at it in totality, in terms of running the race without ever stopping, without ever quitting, we know who the GOAT is. You know, LeBron James. Coming up, we're just getting started in the NBA. Are my Clippers really in danger after losing one game to the Mavericks? I'm sure they are. Plus, at the top of the hour, is Dame Time making people forget about Steph Curry? Ooh, we'll explain. Speak for Yourself is presented by Hyundai.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move on to the Clippers and Lakers, who were heavy title favorites, but both lost their last games in the bubble.
Chill.
On the Clippers side, Doc Rivers said the Mavericks, quote,
attacked us. We didn't know how to respond well. Mm.
While Frank Vogel said his Lakers are optimistic they can turn things around tonight. We joined once again by that dude, Tristan Thompson. I'm going to start with you, bro. Who's in more danger right now? Is it the Clippers or them Lakers?
I would say Clippers are in more danger because, listen, I think both teams going to win the series, the first round. But I think my concern for the Clippers, Clippers Nation, is Paul George's shoulder and Pat Bev's calf strain. You know, Paul George is a big part of their championship run, and he needs to be the Paul George we all know he can be, one of the best two-way guys we have in our league. And for Pat Bev, you know, they're going to need him down the stretch where whether they play Utah or Houston, whoever it may be, they need his defensive mindset and picking up guys 94 feet and making open threes.
I don't understand where y'all coming from in this little text.
I haven't even said nothing yet.
I know where this is going right now. I can smell what you're talking about.
He smells defeat. Marcelo smells defeat.
I smell your feet. It stink up in here if y'all talking about it. It's them. It's the Lakers, and it's pretty obvious. One, let's just start simply. Which team has won a game in the playoffs this year, and which team hasn't?
Oh. Move on.
Okay, so that's one part. Let's just start there. Get on the win column first. And then just go further than that. How are the Lakers going to get into the win column? When you look at how the Lakers performed in the bubble, and everyone said, hey, they already locked up the one seed, so once they get to game one, they about to turn it on. And then we saw game one. Full screen king right here. Look at the Lakers in game one. I've highlighted how in two of the three major statistical categories, the Lakers' big three actually played better than they did during the regular season. So when everyone's talking about you're hitting the switch and you're going to step up and it's just the AC and if we play up to our standard, we got them. According to points per game for Anthony Davis and rebounding, he exceeded expectations. LeBron James had a tremendous stat line, even though the impact was a little suspect, but still better than two categories. And Kuzma, everyone says, Kuz gonna show up. Is that showing up? Looks like Kuz showed up. So my point is, where are you gonna get the juice from? If you hit the switch and guys actually responded and you lost to a Blazers team, number one in terms of their offense, and they shot 39%, and beat the number one seed, how are the Lakers not in trouble?
Tristan, watch how easy this is about to be. See, what I learned is you got to understand how to use a man's words against him. Marcellus, you told me, sir, that the biggest strength of the Clippers is their depth. They like rolling out the Avengers. Their bench is so deep. They have two potential six men of the year. I don't even know how that works, but they have two potential six men of the year. Whose bench had more points last night, sir?
Dallas.
The Dallas Mavericks. The biggest strength for the Clippers has completely been undermined because the Mavericks are actually playing as a better, well-oiled machine. You got to do Trey Burke, who didn't even play ball before with the Mavericks before the bubble started, and he gave you buckets. You got Steph Curry, who gave you buckets. But more than anything, Marcellus, I got a Wileyism. because I realized the Mavericks, they just play harder. And you know what I heard one time, Marcellus?
What?
Hard work beats talent when talent don't work hard. And right now, the Dallas Mavericks, they are just outworking and therefore outplaying the Clippers. But if we being real, you said, who got a win in the playoffs thus far? Yeah, the Clippers. They got a win.
The Clippers.
They got that one. But let's remember how they get that win. Because Porzingis has a fanciful ghost type of technical foul and gets ejected because of that. Be real, bro. You know as well as I do, because your eyes work as well as mine, the Clippers should really be down 0-2. So if you're just going off the eye test, the Clippers are definitely in bigger trouble than them Lakers.
I always wonder why Acho, who I tremendously respected. He was the top linebacker in high school in the state, went to UT, played 4 years in the league. You know, you always wonder, like, what entered Acho's mind to, you know, take him off course a little bit?
I'm on course.
Well,
10-2.
You told me you were too smart to play in the NFL. And I thought you were until you start telling me about this mythical land of magic and wizardry, where if someone gets hurt, then the eye test tells you if they would have played, oh my God, it would have been a different result. When all I know where I'm from, which is reality, is whoever steps between the white lines is who we defeat.
They're not white lines.
Bad about they black lives lines. But here's the thing.
Black lives matter.
But here's the thing. In my world, we only eat what we kill. You can't tell me, well, if the lion was not hurt from his last battle, or well, if the lion would have came in and would have focused, I don't give a damn what happened. Nobody told Porzingis to get two techs, but you know what? Last night, they did outwork us. When we lost to the Lakers in the bubble, it's because their bench outscored us. When we lost to the Mavs last night, their bench outscored us. The point of this is, that's not the law of averages. That's not the mean. The norm is we're going to outscore your bench. So don't try and go to the whiteboard saying, outscore their bench, you're going to win. Come up short.
Tristan, hold on, please,
Tristan,
sir. You're talking nonsense, Tristan. And every now and then, Marcellus talks nonsense, and we just let him get away with it. The law of what averages? Marcellus,
we had the best bench in the NBA.
Season long, you've been talking to me about the Clippers, they're going to turn it on. The Clippers, they're not regular season players. They playoff players.
We won our first game,
did
y'all?
The Clippers, they really
won our
turn
first
it on.
Game,
how they let the Mavericks have 118 offensive rating yesterday? The vaunted Clippers defense, the two best defensive wings we've ever seen since Jordan and Pippen. Where they at, though? Go ahead, Tristan.
I can't talk to this dude.
Man, Marcellus, you already know this Dallas Maverick team, you know, they keep playing like this, they're going to be a problem. You know that. And Luka, people were questioning if he's ready to go. You see the eye of the tiger right there in him. You see the numbers he's putting up, no matter who's guarding him. You saw their best defenders guard him and whatnot. He's still doing his numbers. I think Dallas is a young team that if they want to make a name for himself and if Luka wants to take it to that next step and earn that, that top five, he's got to make some magic happen in this series. And, you know, for them to be able to do, 1-1, I mean, anything's possible, Marcellus, especially if, you know, PG's not 100%.
Y'all stop? Only one team has allowed 100-plus points in all 9 games in the bubble. It ain't the Clippers. Only one team is averaging only 104 points per game, the worst in the bubble. It ain't the Clippers. It's the Lakers. And Kenny Smith made this point, so I got to give my dog some props. They had a 4.5-month break between the pandemic shutdown and the restart in the bubble. Do you know what that feels like to an NBA player? I know you do, Tristan. That feels like an offseason. And a lot of teams went back to the lab. A lot of teams felt like, oh, this is another year. And we're looking at the Clippers, and we saw them in the bubble look good. We saw the Lakers in the bubble struggle from hello to goodbye, and they still haven't won a playoff game. So I'm not pushing the panic button on the Lakers, but I am saying they're in deeper trouble than the Clippers, because at least we have recent history, muscle memory of
there.
The Clippers
I'm
looking
glad,
good,
I'm
where
glad.
The Lakers have nothing to go by, and they actually improved in some categories based on their season averages,
Marcellus,
and still got smoked.
How dare you bring up history when talking about the Clippers history says they haven't advanced past the second round?
You
bringing up history,
you're
bro.
You're doing Twitter
now.
I'm
going facts.
Man,
because you know better than I. Based on being in organizations, there's winning culture in organizations, there's losing culture in organizations.
I never won.
Let's assemble playoff P. Let's assemble Kawhi, Pat Bev, Lou Will, and all of a sudden we have the Avengers, and the Avengers cannot be beat. That is what you're sitting here hoping on. You're sitting here clutching
Your
the
Honor,
hope, Marcellus.
Your Honor, us being right here with Tristan Thompson, part of the Cleveland Cavaliers, losing culture. Did they win a championship? Absolutely. Did anyone predict that before LeBron James and Tristan and Kyrie got together? No. So look at this year's Super Bowl champion. 50 years they went without winning the championship. Did Kansas City talk about their losing history and culture? No. That thing could turn like this, and it's going to turn like that for the Clippers. The problem is, if you want to go real history, let's go recent history. Where were the Lakers last year?
LeBron was hurt.
He was hurt. You love that fantasy.
LeBron was hurt. Porzingis is technical fouls. LeBron was hurt.
God,
is it fantasy or is it true?
It's reality. You deal with what's in front of you. Tristan, tell this dude that that culture stuff is for the past and it's about what you do right now. Please.
It is about what you do right now. It's definitely about what you do right now. But at the end of the day, I just want the Lakers and Clippers to play each other so we can keep this going. Cause I want to. That's what basketball needs. So we need Paul George. Hey, I know it's one game for each team, but we just need both these teams to get it together. Get it together.
Acho, since you love Fantasyland, do me one favor. Close your eyes and just imagine we come in here tomorrow and the Lakers are down 0-2. Since you like to imagine so much, what you going to say?
I can't close my eyes because I got to read the tease. Coming up, one of Dak Prescott's teammates says, imagine. If you talk negative about his quarterback, you don't know football. I'm going to tell you why he don't know football. Next, Speak for Yourself.
Presented by
Hyundai. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's talk Dak Prescott, who will be under the microscope like no other quarterback this season. Dak is playing under the franchise tag, and although he had the second most wins since he entered the league 4 seasons ago, Acho, some are still wondering if his play is worth the big bucks of the top-tier quarterbacks. But Dak can count on his teammates to have his back. Defensive end Tyrone Crawford said, quote, "The man's a beast. If you can't see it, who cares? He does exactly what he's told to do, and he does it at a very high level." I'm a huge fan of Dak. Not a lot of quarterbacks that I could say that about, but Dak is one of my favorites. Anybody talking about him, I don't really think they know football. The guy gets the job done. Can't really say much more. Joined now by Fox NFL analyst, someone who does know football, LeVar Arrington, but I'll tell you, I'm coming to you. Is Dak Prescott unfairly criticized?
No. And let's reverse back to this quote. This is coming from a defensive lineman.
Oh, what you trying to say?
It's coming from a defensive lineman, and he's going to say what? That not a lot of QBs I can say that I like. You're a defensive lineman, bro. Your job is to not like QBs. Literally, in your contract, it says, hate every other QB except your own.
Really?
So I throw that quote out to the wind where it belongs. Now, let's get back to the point.
Yeah.
You're going to say that Dak Prescott is unfairly criticized.
He's stupid.
You're the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. Any criticism that comes is fair. And you say, the quote says that Dak Prescott does what they ask him to do. Do they ask you to go 8-8, Dak? Do they ask you to go 9-7? Do they ask you to go 10-6? Is that what they asked you to do? Do they ask you to choke against the Philadelphia Eagles with everything on the line when the Eagles are going into that game crippled and maligned? Is that what they asked you to do? Because that really should have been a gimme. Do they ask you in the end of the game versus the Buffalo Bills on national television on Thanksgiving to completely fumble that ball, figuratively speaking? Is that what they asked you to do, Dak Prescott? Here's my thing. Oof. Dak Prescott came into the league and he balled statistically. Early on in the season, he was in that MVP race. Dak Prescott led the Cowboys to 13-3. He did his thing. Or did he? See, we all live off Dak Prescott's 13-3 season. That's what we've given Dak Prescott the benefit of the doubt. But remember, the Cowboys went into that season, Super Bowl expectations, potentially Super Bowl favorites. Was the 13-3 season overachieving? Or was it underachieving? Because I don't know if Tony Romo would have been healthy and at the helm. Maybe that was a 15-1 or 16-0 Super Bowl winning team. So what we rest our hat on, what we rest our laurels on in regards to Dak Prescott's biggest accomplishment, going 13-3, was that really an accomplishment at all? I don't think Dak Prescott is unfairly criticized. I think Dak Prescott gets exactly what he deserves. Good quarterback, TBD on, great quarterback.
He beat Russell Wilson's ass in that playoffs. You keep talking. And that's your guy. He has the second most wins in the NFL tied with Russell Wilson's. So I don't know where this went, but I'm about to throw my flag, personal foul, unnecessary roughness on Emmanuel Acho with the disrespect you have for Dak Prescott.
I can't wait for that. Go ahead, because I can wait for my turn.
I know what happened. Tyrone Crawford happened to you. He called you out. Hit dog hollers. He said, whoever talks bad about Prescott, who cares? they don't know football. And I know, Acho, you just been here a month. You want everybody to know, I know football. I know football. And Tyrone already took your ammunition before you even let it off.
Oh, I can't wait for this one.
Let's go to the beginning.
Let me get comfortable.
Dun, 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 dun. Here's a story about Dak Prescott. 4 years ago, was in Starkville, Mississippi, with a newly minted master's degree in workforce leadership. You gotta judge a man by the distance traveled, as Michael Irvin always talks about. And that fourth rounder goes from Starkville, Mississippi, where I'm sure the flags look a little different. And he finds himself on a roster behind Tony Romo. And they strap him into that car seat, a child car seat, because he's a fourth rounder. And they sit there and say, hey, chill. We got a franchise quarterback by the name of Tony Romo. And then all of a sudden, abruptly, back, the car smashes. Oh, Romo, he's hurt. And Dak has to get out that car seat. And he's like, rookie, fourth rounder, takes some 13-3, becomes a franchise quarterback. And to the tune of stabilizing this franchise, full screen king, this is what the Dallas Cowboys have benefited the most from. In terms of Dak Prescott, stability at the position. You see these win percentages. Tony Romo was amazing, so let's not slight him, but he replaced Tony Romo, made him bow out. Quincy Carter, my dog, my teammate, Drew Bledsoe, Testaverde, look at these win percentages. It was a carousel of quarterbacks until one Dak Prescott, who was not even thought of to be the guy he is, exceeded expectations. And that, Your Honor, is my case.
Are you done or are you finished? Are you okay.
Are you done or are you finished?
Sorry, LeVar. I had to check my dog. Because my dog be telling these hot lies, people. Dak Prescott, winning percentage is so top tier. Dak Prescott, Marcellus, he won, what was it, 8 games last year. Look at the quarterbacks Prescott beat. He beat Eli Manning week 1. They were trying to run him out of town.
Yeah.
He beat Case Keenum week 2, a backup right now to Baker Mayfield. He beat Josh Rosen week 3. He's currently third string on a 5-11 Miami Dolphins team. Okay, let's fast forward.
Quarterback play defense?
He beat Carson Wentz, so I'll give him that one. Okay, but then he beat Daniel Jones. Congratulations. He beat Case Keenum again. Congratulations. Who did Dak Prescott beat, sir?
Defenses.
No.
Not
Dak Prescott's record versus playoff teams, 1-6. Let me tell you about the company he's in, since you want to tell me about company. Company with Jameis Winston, Derek Carr, and Andy Dalton, the only 3 quarterbacks that have a worse record versus playoff teams. I'm not saying Dak Prescott is a bad quarterback. What I'm saying is, understand the facts. I had to unbutton my jacket to get comfortable because sometimes these facts hurt, Marcellus. Sometimes these facts hurt not only your feelings, but Cowboys fans' feelings. Dak Prescott's a good quarterback, but y'all stop making him somebody that he is not. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Drew Brees. Let's just keep the context within the context, which is what Dak Prescott is, and that's not unfairly criticized.
Mr. Eagle speaks. Okay. I'm listening to LeVar.
Wow. Well, I'm going to say it's not unfair to get criticisms when you're the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, let's just be honest. Whether you're Troy Aikman or Tony Romo or Dak Prescott, when you're the focal figure of a super high profile organization, America's team, self-anointed, you're going to get criticisms and you're going to get scrutinized and you're going to get talked about. Dak should be happy. Tyrone Crawford should be happy. They should be happy that he's receiving these criticisms because that means he's relevant enough to be spoken about. When someone comes out, especially somebody from the defensive side of the ball, you be clear. There is an agenda connected to why that person had something to say. And that's either because they have a problem with what the media is saying, they either have a problem with what the fans are saying, their teammates, or somebody upstairs. So Tyrone Crawford is directing this comment to somebody. Mm. It could be Emmanuel. It could be somebody upstairs. It could be somebody in the locker room. And it could be the fans on the board. So I look at it from this perspective. They should be happy that he's getting criticized. But ultimately, I just wonder, is somebody like Tyrone Crawford taking a shot at the Jones family? Is he taking a shot upstairs? Because honestly speaking, if he's that guy that is not deserving of the criticisms coming his way, then I would assume that he would have had a deal done by now if that were the case.
Oh, we're going to go there. We're going to take things out of context. When I have a quote here from Stephen Jones who said, I've never seen anything shake Dak. Certainly, that's why we think so much
Stephen
of him.
Stephen Jones hasn't lied. Stephen Jones hasn't lied.
He ain't lied to me. And I was there with Stephen Jones. Do you know Stephen Jones? Like, I know Stephen Jones, boy.
He got him on a franchise tag.
Yeah, and look, it's eight times the amount he's made in his entire career in 1 year.
That doesn't make it right, Marcellus.
If somebody walked up to you and say, how much you made in your entire life, I give you eight times that amount. You think they did you a disservice? Boy, stop.
You're trying to justify it off of a franchise tag.
I take the franchise player. I have been a minority in liking the franchise tag more than the average Joe. I am Kirk Cousins. I take that.
I'm with you on that. But to say that the criticisms are unjust or not going to
fly. Oh, they're unjust. You want to know why?
They haven't paid him.
He was first with 10 scores under duress, throwing a touchdown under pressure. I'll give you all the stuff that he's top in. Third in air yards. I'm giving you Acho-type stats. 8.2 yards per attempt. Acho always likes to quote yards per attempt. Seven touchdowns over 40 yards last year. Only him and Patrick Mahomes had more than five. Only him and Patrick Mahomes. He's fifth all-time in passer rating. Look at these numbers. In his first four seasons, he's third in passing yards in history.
Here's my thing.
Marcellus,
where did you have to search to find these stats, bro? You're like, Dak Prescott is the only quarterback to throw a touchdown off his left pinky toe with his right index finger while the ball, his hand was on the
NFL. I'm just trying to make it make sense, bro. I'm going to make it make sense.
No, you're stretching. You're right here. If you have to try that hard to find valid information to say that Dak is not unfairly criticized, maybe he's fairly criticized.
Flashback. You just took me back to elementary school. You got to try that hard. You got to work that hard to try and get an A. Then you're doing too much. Hey, don't get mad at me. I do my research, and I do it extensively to the point he's third all time in passing yards. Guess who's in front of him?
Third all time in what?
Passing yards. Peyton Manning and Dan Marino. Y'all trying to take shots at a fourth rounder? A fourth
at
rounder.
At this age, you're saying? Because he's not third all time in passing.
Marcellus. No, in his first four seasons.
You said he stabilized that franchise.
Dog, he did. He hasn't missed a game yet. The most.
Bro, his coach got fired.
What kind of stability?
LeVar?
I'm talking about the position.
Help me understand. Yeah, but that position is supposed to stabilize the team,
Tom Brady stabilized the Patriots for 20 years. Pat Mahomes is about to...
Did y'all see the names on that list? How many division titles did they get under those names? Okay, all I'm saying is, look, y'all want to disrespect his progress. You're disrespecting his progress and not respecting...
Progress? 13 wins his first year, 9 the second year, 10 the third year, 8 the
progress.
Let him take us to the break, Emmanuel. Y'all trying to say a fourth rounder that has stabilized a position, never been injured, and is top five.
The position was stable.
Why didn't Romo play?
The position was stable.
Yeah, thank you. Coming up, Bill Belichick won't commit to Cam Newton as a starter, and I'll tell you why. That's completely on brand. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Man, you only measure.
You tripping, Marcel.
Let's keep it rolling. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself.
Yeah.
New England had the luxury of having the same quarterback that is Tom Brady for 20 seasons. Now, everything is in flux with the addition of Cam Newton. Cam is splitting reps, though, with Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer. The situation is making Bill Belichick actually consider a platoon system at quarterback. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, it might. I would always say I'll do what I think is best for the team, what gives us the best chance to win. So whatever that is, I would certainly consider that. Let's run unbalanced line or double unbalanced line or, 23 personnel or, whatever it is. If it helps us win, then, I would consider anything.
Joined once again by LeVar Arrington, but Marcellus, you need this one, so you're up first.
I'm interested to see what y'all do with this one.
Is Bill Belichick, quote, proof that Cam won't be the starter week one?
No proof. Not at all. If Bill Belichick. And I think I have the most experience up here of knowing him, not only playing against him twice a year, but also just studying him as I'm a historian of the craft. This is Belichick's genius. And this genius actually applies on the field, but I'm going to give it to you in Belichick's way. First thing he does is he either gives you nothing to chew on or too much to chew on for one intended purpose: to keep you off balance, to keep you guessing, to keep you in your own mind, creating your own opponent. What will he do? Well, he said he's not going to do this. He said he could do this. I don't know what to do. And the New England Patriots way, in terms of how it materialized on the field, was always this. More games in the NFL are lost than won. Think about that. Capitalizing on mistakes, keeping people off balance, waiting for them to do something wrong, and then pouncing on them. This is what he's done. He just did what I told Reggie Bush, and Reggie Bush got mad at me when I told him this when he was an active player. I said, Reggie, I don't care how fast you are, you have to threaten the defense and keep them off balance. If not, I'm just going to use geometry and cut you off. So until you make me fear that you're going to run right over me, all that running around me ain't going to work like you think it is. This is what Belichick's doing right now to the entire NFL. He's threatening them so they don't know where he's going, and then he's going to make his move for pay dirt.
Bill Belichick has you bamboozled.
Hoodwinked.
He got your letter straight, Marcellus. let me speak to the facts of the matter. Josh McDaniels, OC for the New England Patriots, he was a head coach once. He was a head coach for the Denver Broncos, and he drafted Tim Tebow. Used Tim Tebow not as a pastor, but used passer, or pastor, but used wow. Tim Tebow in the goal line as a runner predominantly. They started Kyle Orton at quarterback over Tim Tebow, the first-round pick who Josh McDaniels drafted. I say that to say, now you have Cam Newton, clearly a running threat at the goal line. What took so long for the Patriots to sign Cam Newton? Maybe Bill Belichick had to be convinced by one Josh McDaniels, the same Josh McDaniels that drafted a Tim Tebow a decade prior. I do think that Bill Belichick's comments are leading us to believe Cam Newton will be a gimmick-style quarterback. Because if you are a starter, guaranteed, no questions about it, you have to find a way to get them off the field. But if you're a gimmick-style quarterback, you got to search for ways to get them on the field. I don't think Bill Belichick believes what you and I believe. I think Bill Belichick truly sees Cam Newton as, let's figure out how we can use him. They've only paid him a limited amount of money, so they only going to play him a limited amount of time.
It's interesting that I've been saying from day one, why are we anticipating and expecting Cam Newton to be the starter of this team? I've been saying it. Now, to further my discussion point of been saying this, follow the money as it was stated. Look at what we're hearing Bill Belichick say. He said he gave personnel groupings. He gave straight football talk, right? 23 personnel. How many people out there know what 23 personnel is? Well, super quick, that's two backs in the backfield, all right? And you got three tight ends, yeah. All right? That's 23 personnel. Now, when you start going into detailed discussion points like that, that's something I would consider. You know what Bill Belichick's sitting there telling you? That's something that I'm considering. If Cam Newton was the undisputed coming in starting quarterback for the Patriots, Bill Belichick would have nothing to say. Facts. Next question. Facts. I'm not entertaining it. It's not a part of what I do. And I'm not going to start it now. The fact that he's having conversation about it says to me he's got a smokescreen up. But it's the smokescreen of sensibility and just, you know what? Use some exercise, some common sense. Cam is not the starter of this football team and may not ever win that starting job.
Man, Belichick had a quarterback for 20 years. They just got divorced. Excuse him if he goes out in these streets and doesn't have the same kind of game and same kind of Mac ability. He don't know what he's saying if you want to go down that lane. Well, but I'm going to go down the lane that he's still a genius.
He can't speak game?
He ain't got the same game. You're like, all right, I had to use it in 20 years. Here's the thing. They're only getting reps in practice, and practice just started. No preseason this year. So he is behind the eight ball in terms of terminology and the verbiage. But guess what's going to happen? That talent's going to take over, and he's going to understand exactly what the playbook is calling for. And that's when Cam Newton will get his opportunity. If you guys stop chopping up the quote and read all of what he said, I've always been known to try anything. And it's true. Watch Bill Belichick run a two-man defensive front and just shake you and throw you off balance. He's throwing y'all off balance right now. Check yourself.
Good job, Marcellus. Good job.
He tried to make it believable. Well, coming
take
up.
Take us to break, man.
Y'all better stop with these Dame Lillard comparisons or I'm going to stop them for y'all. Because y'all need to stop comparing him to Steph Curry. We're going to address that disrespect. That's next.
Acho,
my dog.
It's time for our big story, so let's talk about Dame Dollar, who has been lighting it up from beyond the arc. Mr. Lillard even hit a three from nearly half court to seal Tuesday's win against the Lakers. Dame time prompted Kenny Smith to call out the originator of the deep three-point shot, Steph Curry himself, saying, quote, "I don't think you can shoot as deep as him, Steph." Well, in today's world of social media, you knew Steph would respond. He tweeted, "Love you, Kenny Smith, but you tripping right now." So, Otto, is Steph Curry unfairly disrespected?
Yes, 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 C, and yes. Okay, bro, I hate conversations like these because it's going to make us have to talk down on, and not even talk down on, but put in the proper context Dame and all of Dame's greatness.
Right.
But I got to do it.
You got to do it.
Because I got to speak these facts.
Yep.
See, you're the full screen king, correct?
Yes, sir.
I'm the full screen prince, well, and it's time for me to try to ascend to the throne.
Let's take this
blind resume, fool. Just take me off camera if we can, because I want them to see these facts, okay? Mm. Blind resume. You have two players. Player on the left, 10-0 in the playoffs versus player on the right.
Okay.
Player on the left, more points, more assists, more rebounds, more field goal percentage, shoots a higher three-point percentage, and in less minutes in all their games. Okay, you can bring me back, and you can also show who these players are. Because player on the left, Marcellus, is one by the name of Stephen Curry. Player on the right is one Dame Lillard. It's not a competition. Is Steph being disrespected in regards to Dame? Absolutely. Bro, you're talking about the OG. You're talking about the one who came first. You're talking about the king size compared to the snack size. It's not even truly worth mentioning. Dame, he shoots from the logo now. Who created shooting from the logo? Who made shooting from the logo fair? Steph Curry. Steph Curry did what Dame is now doing first. Steph Curry did what Dame is now doing better. Steph Curry has already done what Dame is just starting to do. Put some respect, please, on Steph Curry's name.
Oh, my good. First of all, you stole that from Colin Coward.
I did.
We work together, but don't mean we can share each other's materials.
Thanks,
like
Colin.
That. You stole that. Stop, thief. And speaking of thieves, this is why I don't like topics like this to my core. Because comparison is the thief
of joy, bro.
Of joy.
Not wildly, but it should be.
It could be in a book. I'll lie. I plagiarized. I do not want to get hit up by either one of these guys, especially Dame, because I actually talk to Dame. I don't talk to Steph. But it might happen. Woo! I'm going to give you a timeline of the disrespect because I saw this coming.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, if you go from hello to right now, you can see how they've been gnawing and chomping at Steph Curry in terms of his ability and his respect level from day one. The first thing that happened was he was born the son of Dale Curry. Mm-hmm. And I know, being an athlete, when you get out there in the playground and you're doing well, there's two things that cats want to always take away from you. They always want to shoot a shot, like either you're the coach's son, and nobody wants to be the coach's son because no one's going to get their full respect. Or in Steph's case, oh, man, you just got gifts from your DNA. You ain't working. You ain't really that good. If my daddy was there, Curry, and you know Steph had to deal with that. So then you take it from that level till he goes to a small school. You were talking about small school players just yesterday, CJ and Dame. When you go to a small school like I did, you don't come out into the league with the machinery behind you, the marketing. Imagine if he had went to Duke or Kentucky, how much bigger he is and how much more we could absorb him in terms of respect. But we're still looking at him like, prove something to us. Now he has two strikes against him. He's gonna have like five strikes. Then he comes out with no machinery and he's playing good, all right, better, better, better. Then the ankles keep giving out. Remember that? And you're like, dang. Every time you jump on the wagon, you're like, I gotta jump off the ankles. And then Mark Jackson, woo, he hooked him up, but he hurt him in the same conversation by saying him and Clay are the greatest shooting duo ever. They're going to be that. And that was a little premature based on the results, but it was deadly accurate for anyone who saw him every single day. And then the cherry on top of all of that was them light-skinned jokes. Mm-mm. And them light-skinned jokes were flying through, because it got to the point where it was mainstream. I never seen that before. Like, everybody got jokes on Steph Curry. He even shot a couple back. But the point of it is, if you look at this gumbo, of all of those ingredients, you can see why they're not going to ever get this dude his props, no matter where he shoots from.
Bro, let me tell you why people don't respect Steph Curry.
I thought you did.
But there's one more reason, bro. Steph Curry is too relatable. You look at Steph Curry, he ain't got no cuts. You look at Steph Curry, he kind of corny. You look at Steph Curry and you're like, man, I could have been Steph. If I would have just spent more time in the gym, I could be Steph. Yeah. You don't look at LeBron and say, I could be Bron. You don't look at KD and say, I could be KD. You sure as heck don't look at Jordan and say, I could have been Jordan. But you look at Steph and you're like, Steph ain't all that special. You disregard the fact that he was a two-time MVP winner. Mm. You disregard the fact that he was a unanimous MVP winner. And you just look at him and you say, ah, he's not all that special. Mm-hmm. That's why people don't respect Steph, because in people's fanciful imaginations, and everybody thinks they could have played pro, except people that actually played pro. In people's fanciful imaginations, they're like, Steph, he ain't no different than me. He just spent a little bit more time shooting. Dame is a baller. Mm-hmm. Don't nobody take a clip of what I'm saying and undermine that Dame is a baller. But let's not be prisoners. Let's not be shackled. And let's not be chained by the moment. Let's remember, Steph is also an OG.
Man, let's bring in another OG. NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Chris, Steph Curry unfairly disrespected? Mm.
Well, speaking of light skin.
for real.
But defend your light-skinned brother, Chris.
Look at half of the young stars in the league are light-skinned now. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's a trend going.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
those jokes were out there. He's suburban, right, because his dad is a rich NBA player. Again, a lot of the superstars in the league coming up now are suburban. I think y'all going a little overboard with the notion of him being disrespected. He is disrespected by some. There's no doubt that there's that segment out there. But overall, his legacy is secure. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is kind of like comparing, and again, with all due respect to Dame, Dominique Wilkins to Michael Jordan.
Mm.
Okay, Dominique could do some nasty dunks. I even think he was a better game dunker than MJ. Dominique could put up points and score almost as well as MJ. But what didn't Dominique have that Jordan had? The rings.
Yeah.
And right now, I don't care what Dame does. Dame's looking like he's going to be a future Hall of Famer and all of that, and maybe he's reaching superstar status. But until he starts winning some rings, you can't put him with Steph. Dame will not be ranked in the top 15 players of all time unless he starts getting some rings, like Steph. ESPN.com just did a poll recently. Steph was ranked 13th best player ever, okay? So Dame's got to get some jewelry, a lot of it, before he can be compared to Steph like that. Steph is one of two small players to lead teams to dynasties. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Thomas being the first one and Steph Curry being the second. So as great as Dame is, no, you can't put him right now where Steph is, because the reason there is a Dame is because of Steph. Dame, Trae Young, all these guys would not have thought about taking 35 footers if it weren't for Steph. That's just the fact. He is the best shooter in NBA history. He is the architect of a game change. He revolutionized the NBA. It's totally different now because of Steph Curry and the way he treated the three ball. So, no, you can't. He's got respect. His legacy is secure, even though there are some haters here and there.
My dog, CB, you just spit nothing but facts. Let me spit a couple more. Of all the impressive things that my light-skinned brother just said about Steph,
y'all stupid.
Another light-skinned brother, the most impressive thing to me that Steph Curry has ever done is say, you know what? I can ride shotgun. Steph Curry in his prime, two-time MVP, KD said, okay, I'm going to join the squad. And Steph, he set his ego aside. He set his ego aside and you said, you know what? For the greater good of the team, I can ride shotgun. Let's not understate how big a deal that is in any sport. KD and Russ, they couldn't get along. Late, great Kobe and Shaq, they couldn't get along. Mm. You look at a bunch of teams with a bunch of players, a bunch of superstars, even LeBron and Kyrie end up, they couldn't get along. See, when we talk about Steph and all these rings that he got, He didn't get them by chance. And being a great basketball player isn't just about putting the basket in, putting the ball in the hoop. Being a great basketball player is also about galvanizing a team to victory. When we talk about Steph Curry, the part we sleep on the most is that a player, the best shooter in the NBA history, in his prime, said, you know what? For the sake of the team, for the sake of these chips, I'm going to go ahead and let KD do the thing. Let KD win some MVPs. I already got mine. I'm good. So when we respect Steph and everything he did on the court as far as with the basketball, we also got to respect what he did cerebrally and being like, you know what? For everybody else's sake, I'm a ride shotgun, even though I can drive this thing and drive it myself to a ship.
Yeah, look. I don't want to minimize how much he's being disrespected, but I also don't want to exaggerate how great he is.
We're not.
Well, somebody just said that Steph Curry is ranked 13th all-time in the NBA.
That came from them history. Four letters.
That was
came
a from panel of experts. That was a panel of experts.
What does Barkley always say? I'm no saying. One's an expert. I just wrote down 13 names that no one could dispute. Kareem, Wilt, Jordan, LeBron, Magic, Bird, Shaq, Russell, Kobe, Duncan, Olajuwon, Big O, Jerry. I'm going to leave that alone. That's 13.
I love the logo, but no, he's not ahead of Steph.
Okay. Well, KD is. I'm going to let that go. I'll let that go. Here's the thing. What's working against him is this is what's going to rob Steph Curry of his ultimate respect level. You said it, being suburban, coming from pops, kind of cats just don't give you the same amount of props, whatever it is. Being the guy next door, it works when you're Rocky running up and down the streets of Philadelphia. Oh, my God, he's inspiring me to be the guy I could be and fight and show courage. But it also robs you in the same breath. Oh, man, if I would have shot a little more growing up, look at him. I could have done some of that. And that's where I think Steph Curry lands in terms of his respect meter. Two things can happen at the same time, and one could pop before the other, and then you can get lost in who's really the pioneer. I think that's happening right now because growing up in the 80s, watching rap music evolve as it shifted from the East Coast to West Coast, and also some of the dance trends, it was funny to see us on the West Coast battle the East Coast about who started what first. And if you really look at it, somebody on the East Coast was doing the WAP. And then we still over here doing the snake. And then we finally remixed it and said, no, we doing the WAP and y'all doing the WAP. And then everybody gonna beef over who did it first. But in reality, y'all probably did it at the same time. It's just which one did it on camera first. Don't forget who's older in this conversation, who still has more prime years in this conversation, and who's not as injury prone in this conversation. Stop. I don't want to go too far because Dame Lillard's going to catch
up. You're getting close.
I just want Dame Dollar to be. We taking away from Steph's respect, and we shouldn't, but we also shouldn't stop and rob Dame Dollar because he's still coming.
Can Dame catch Steph? Leslie, legacy-wise, no. What does he have to do to catch Steph?
He got to win about four or five chips and
four.
An MVP.
No, he ain't got to win four.
And he's got to catch him now.
No, why's he got to win four? KD going to rob Steph of some of that credit of the ones he won.
But that's a part of the problem.
Two or three.
KD was the best player on those Golden State teams. That's pretty much indisputable.
Thank you.
However, Steph was the most important player. You ask a lot of coaches how they game plan for him. It was Steph because you had to stretch the defense out so far because of him. You know their record was what? When Steph didn't play and KD played, the record was okay. When KD didn't play and Steph played, the record was tremendous. They just went back to 2016 when they won 73 games. So, Steph, you are underplaying how great his legacy is. And he's going to be in the top 15 in everybody's top category.
Definitely
ahead of everybody. I'll give you this. Here's one reason that you didn't mention why there's a little disrespect. Because he doesn't not only play defense, that is a great defender, but he doesn't guard the other point guard a lot. Now, that's not his fault. Sometimes that's the coaching staff just doesn't put him on there. But Dame's not a great defender. Kyrie, none of these little point guards, for the most part, are great defenders. But Steph doesn't even take that challenge. Mm. And some players look at that like, we on the playground, I'm going at you, and you going at me. It's one-on-one. But Steph robs them of that opportunity to get him back because he doesn't defend him. Let me say this, too, about the suburban
game. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
The game's becoming a suburban game.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving got the most playground game in the league. Am I correct?
Fact. Yes.
No, he got the most street game in the league. He's a suburban kid.
Yep.
He is straight suburb. So I don't think that should be held against Steph.
Nah, look, Marcellus Vernon Wiley Jr. is a suburban kid. Y'all better look out about 10, 15 years. He gonna do something special on somebody court. Here's the thing. I'm looking at a list right now where Steph Curry has been updated on this list to number 26 all time. Don't have beef with me. Have beef with this list. Coming up, Anthony Davis says his job is to relieve pressure off LeBron. I'll tell you why. That doesn't make me more confident they'll win tonight. Next!
Time now for Rewarding Performance, sponsored by Capital One. What's in your wallet? Damian Lillard has been rewarding fans with his MVP level of play. Now he'll try to continue his hot streak to go up 2-0 tonight against these Lakers. LA is a one seed, but they're not playing like one. This is bringing out critics who are questioning if LeBron James has enough help. Anthony Davis addressed that quote, saying, "There's always going to be critics when you're playing with the best player in the game. My job is to relieve pressure off of him, but I don't listen to what anybody has to say about my play or the other team's play, the play of my teammates, that is. I do have a responsibility to play at a high level and help make things easier for LeBron. We're not panicking. We're going to figure it out." And I'm never reading another quote by AD. We're joined once again by Chris Broussard.
I've been there.
But Marcellus, I'm going to you first, bro. Are you confident the Lakers can rebound tonight in game two?
No, not confident. Just wait and see approach, one of these. Get the popcorn out, pour me a little of that Duke and Dame caramel whiskey, sit there on the rocks and say, "Good luck, Lakers, prove it to me," because they have not looked good in the bubble all bubble time. And then you look at them in game one, and I'm like, okay, they actually, in some ways, showed me a little more. But the only way I think they could really beat them, the Portland Trailblazers, is not with their horses. I really look, like, Acho's broke this down time and time again. If you look at the top eight players on the court, even top 10 players on the court, you're going to draft a lot more from Portland than you are from the Lakers. And the only way that they can beat the Lakers, looking at the deep analytics, the net ratings, the best lineups they have, LeBron and Alex Caruso have to be on the court at the same time, which is not something that you will simply think about if you're looking at the top surface of the Lakers. But looking at it from the deep analytics, they have to outcoach them. They're actually going to have to maneuver, and they're going to have to reconfigure how this team goes out there and design to hold up against Portland. Don't forget, Portland only shot 39% in a game that they won against the number one seed. I think it's tough sledding for the Lakers.
Look, I think LeBron, one thing he has to do is go out and be more of an aggressive scorer. All right, in game one, he had a great floor game, right? Historic numbers that we had never seen before in the playoffs. But they need his points because, to your point, Marcellus, he's not getting a lot of help elsewhere. His teammates can't shoot, okay? So LeBron can't just be the playmaker. 23 points for him is low. He needs to be closer to 30, and that's what the Lakers need to win. But let me get to AD. There's a little bit of a problem I have with that quote from AD. And here it is.
What's the problem?
When he says, "It's my job to help LeBron." See, you're already taking a backseat to LeBron. You should be thinking, "I am 1A to LeBron's 1. Like, I'm right there. It's both of us." Because LeBron has spent all year trying to get AD to adopt that mindset, right? He said, "We're going to run the offense through AD." Every game, in the beginning of the game, he's going to AD to get him established. AD is not delivering that, though. He's not reciprocating because in the fourth quarter, that's when his mentality of "I'm just here to help LeBron" kicks in. And he delivers in the first three quarters, but then in the fourth quarter, he backs up and waits for LeBron to do everything. And that's a problem. AD had 2 points in game one of the fourth quarter. I can't have 30 points, but 28 of them coming in the first three quarters. He's got to deliver more in the fourth quarter. And to do that, he has to see himself as the man. Secondly, about AD, he's got to be willing to play some center. Not just willing, but embrace it. Because we know he's come out and said he doesn't want to play center. But what that does in this series, when he's playing power forward next to Dwight or JaVale McGee, is it allows Portland to keep their 2 7-footers on the court. So they got Hassan Whiteside and Yusef Nurkic on the court protecting the rim. And the Lakers don't shoot the three well, so LeBron's going at the rim, and those two dudes are protecting it. If AD will play center next to Kyle Kuzma, that improves the Lakers' shooting, takes one of those bigs from Portland off the floor, and opens up the driving lanes more for LeBron. Those are the things AD has to do to help LeBron.
I got something real quick. Deep dive. We know LeBron's been 13-0 in the first round series, but look at this downward trend. 2018, only time he's ever trailed in the first round against the Pacers. 2019, didn't even make the playoffs last year. 2020, down again. LeBron, you better get this thing started quicker, bro.
To be confident, bro, that the Lakers are going to rebound in game two is to be confident in hope, a dream, a wish. But it's not to be confident in your eyes. It's not to be confident in your logic. CB, I agree with you. If the Lakers are going to win, LeBron has to be the aggressor. But we haven't really seen LeBron be an aggressor all season. We've seen LeBron be a distributor at a high of his career. LeBron, he only has a 30-point game 20% of the time. So for us to think that LeBron's going to come out here and start dropping 30 every single game, I think that is wishful thinking on our behalf. I just don't know if that's the same LeBron we've seen all season. To be wishful and think that Danny Green is going to be able to find a bucket, he ain't do it in the first eight games in the bubble.
Hello.
Still hasn't done it. To be hopeful and hope that KCP is all of a sudden going to drop 15, he's not. Kyle Kuzma, he's not going to go for 30. The Lakers have shown us who they were. What Danny Green say, Marcellus?
What do you say?
They are who we thought they were. And that's what the Lakers have shown us. I'm just hoping as a Lakers fan, they turn it around. Coming up, Uncle Jimmy's legacy status is secure.
But he'll tell us this LeBron will be
if they lose in the first round.
What?
Uncle Jimmy, what you doing?
Smoking.
Smoked out.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's get back to LeBron James, who was called out by Paul Pierce. Pierce said if LeBron doesn't get past the first round, he doesn't want to hear about GOAT talk anymore. Inglewood, joined now by Uncle Jimmy. So will the first round exit to the Blazers hurt LeBron's legacy zone?
Look here, man. This is all Pookie's fault, okay? If Pookie would have never started getting high, then we would not be sitting up having this conversation regarding LeBron James and his legacy today. You understand what I'm saying?
No, not right now.
I hate about both of y'all. I come out here on the field every day with you two so-called athletes, and all the hell y'all ever want to do is graze. All right, listen to him to what I'm talking about. Remember yesterday when I talked about LeBron James, Nino Brown, and New Jack City?
I left out one
very intricate character in that movie, Pookie, a.k.a. J.R. Smith. Okay? Remember, Pookie played an intricate part in bringing down Nino's organization.
Yes.
All right? Fast forward to that night in Cleveland when LeBron James asked J.R. Smith, what the hell is wrong with you? And what did J.R. say? I don't know, Bronny. That stuff just be calling me and calling me. So I'm trying to tell you, if J.R. Smith hadn't messed up that night in Cleveland, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now today regarding LeBron James and his legacy. And in the words of my guy, Emmanuel Ocho, it's Pookie's fault.
Hey, tonight's game's going to be fire. It's a battle of icy hot versus red hot. And then we're going to see what happens. Fox Bet Live
icy
is...
Icy hot works, though.
It doesn't work.